Blog Talk Radio.
The scattered words and empty thoughts seem to pour from my heart. I've never felt so torn before. Seems I don't know where to start. But it's now that I feel your grids fall like rain from every fingertip, washing away my pain.
Welcome, everybody, to the Healing Light Show. This is Reverend Stan, Chuck, and Chris Crutch, Rip Phil. How y'all doing, guys?
Doing good this morning.
Yeah, man, doing great.
Hey. Amen. It's a beautiful morning out there, and still not much rain, but it's beautiful, and gonna be a great day today, and Memorial Weekend's coming, and everybody's out getting ready to have some fun. So you know, be safe, everybody. But today we're gonna be talking to our guest for this week is Evangelist Zoe Warren. How you doing, Zoe?
Hey, I'm doing well, getting better. Praise God. How are you?
We're doing pretty good. We're going to be hearing about your walk with the Lord and all the things that the Lord's been doing in your life and your ministry. And there's just a lot of things that you've been doing, and it's just amazing. And we just trying to comprehend all the things that you're into. And it's amazing that the Lord can take one person and do so many things with. And there's a lot of people that has so many gifts that we don't really understand. And a lot of us is able to use the gifts that the Lord has put in us. And it's very amazing to see people like that working for the kingdom of God. And it's really amazing. Zoe, I'd like to get to the first part of the interview and ask you how you got introduced to the Lord.
Well, I got introduced to the Lord in a strange way. I was probably 18 years old, and the Lord rescued me. I actually was doing a bunch of methamphetamines, and I died. And I remember before I actually went out, I prayed the Lord's Prayer, because my parents had taught me the Lord's Prayer growing up, you know. And I prayed the Lord's Prayer, and all these black shadows crawled across the wall, and then I was gone. And I had an out-of-body experience, you know, kind of like in what I was seeing. I saw myself move away from myself and out the room I was in. And the Lord came to me, and he asked me if I knew who he was. And I said, nope, because I thought it was the devil, you know, because I had an abortion. I lived a pretty foul life, you know. I was doing drugs. And he said, you know who this is. I said, no, I don't. He said, yes, I do. Yeah, he asked me what I wanted. He asked me what I wanted. I didn't know what I wanted. And he said, I know what you want. And he showed me some things, and he showed me a glimpse of some future things that were to come, and I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And so whatever I did, you know, come to and was revived, I went to like a psychological facility or whatever because I thought I was crazy. And, you know, 12 years later, I read the Bible. Because I was still living in sin. I was in a metal band, traveling the country, you know, well, not really the whole country, just the, you know, from like Myrtle Beach to Athens, Georgia, you know, you know? And we would have people, yeah. We would have people hang by hooks on our shows in the first band I was in. In the second band, we were just kind of just heathens, you know, doing coke and drinking and stuff. And I saw a red-shifted moon, and I was from the beach, you know what I'm saying? So I had never seen a red-shifted moon like that. And I never really left the beach, you know, except for to go to, like, you know, Georgia. And I never really saw a redshifted moon at all. But I thought about something my mother told me about when the moon turns to blood, the great and terrible day of the Lord, you know. And I remembered that, and I was like, oh, God, is that what's happening? And so I got terrified. And at the same time, too, I was hearing lots of voices in my head because I was doing a lot of drugs, and I would go to sleep, and I'd wake up, and I couldn't move. You know, I was paralyzed. I could see the whole room, but I couldn't move, and I couldn't scream. It was traumatic, and it would happen all the time. And so I had made all these assumptions about God. Even in my band, I would, you know, write songs against God and spit in the air would land on my face. And I was like, I made all these assumptions about God, and I never asked the one who said he was God his opinion. And so I read the Bible from cover to cover like a storybook, and the most amazing thing happened. While I was reading it, some of the things that the Lord showed me when I was 18 years old was right there on the pages. And I realized, I had a revelation that the Lord, he showed me so that when I would read it, that I would be able to believe him. It was really incredible, praise God. And so here I am today, you know, sold out, stupid for Lord Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
Because my introduction to the kingdom was a crazy encounter. And the Lord, he loves us so much that he would even come to me when I was totally deep in sin and rescue me. And even though I wasn't ready to go with him, he would still deposit some things in me. And so when I was ready to go with him, I would have no doubts.
Amen. That's an awesome story, man. You know, coming from a life of sin and coming into the light. And it's cool how, you know, the Lord shows up when you don't know him. I mean, your life is completely away from him. And he just shows up and reveals himself to you. And he gives you a chance. He's not like, you know, like a lot of churches believe, you're going straight to hell. And it ain't nothing like that. He gives you a chance. He wants to show you his love no matter what situation you're in. And that's the Lord Jesus, man. I mean, when you know him, you know he's like that. You know he is love. What he talks about, he is love. And it's amazing how he just came to you during that tough situation when you was 18. And that just shows you who he is right there. That shows you who he is right there. And now, when you first started getting into the ministry, what was the first thing you got pulled to?
Well, I mean, when I got saved in March, and by May, you know, because I read the Bible, and I really thought I would look in the pages of the Bible and the church that I saw in the New Testament, that it would be somewhere on the planet, you know. I really did. I thought I was going to run out there and find it, you know. And and so I was really zealous and on fire. And the first thing that I experienced was a healing miracle. Down in Charleston, there was an old World War II veteran, 80-year-old guy. He had been to the top of the food chain, you know, in business multiple times, like the vice president of IBM. He was the editor of the New York Times, like crazy, like he. But he had come to the Lord, and him and his wife had some struggles in the past, and they'd prayed, and the Lord did things for them, and so they were, you know, trusting in God, because he was told he was going to lose both legs, have double amputation, because the his toes had turned black, dead tissue, necrotic, and so anyway, my friend that I went to film school with said, "Hey man, I don't have time to go do this." He knew I came to the Lord. I said, "I don't have time to go do this video. They want me to tape it for them, do a doc. Can you go do it?" And I said, "Okay, sure." And I went down there like an investigative journalist. You know what I'm saying? I just got saved. I just read about healings. So just all this stuff. You know, I'm like, okay, this is cool. And I asked a bunch of hard questions. You know, the doctor himself got on camera. He was a vein surgeon, a specialist in veins. And he's like, "Man, this is as close to a healing miracle I've ever seen, I've been involved in, you know. I nothing I did had anything to do with what happened here." The guy had dead tissue. When they finally took, he went to the doctor, you know, to do the double amputation, and they do some tests, like a pre kind of thing. It's not like you're gonna have it, but you don't. They just do some tests. They pricked his legs. He immediately yelled, you know. They put the stethoscope to his legs, and they had the stethoscope attached to speakers in the room, so you could hear the circulation had returned in his legs where it was numb before. It took off the stuff off his feet, and all the signs of his condition had been reversed.
Amen.
That dead tissue came back to life. Yeah, man. So that was my introduction to the kingdom. I was like straight out the cellophane, you know, like, whoa, it's real. And so I went everywhere with a disc. I went to every church on my street. I was in Columbia, South Carolina, with this disc with a healing miracle on it. I went from Baptist churches, Methodist churches, all these churches, and none of them received me. They all were like, "No, we don't want it." And I wasn't trying to sell it to him. I was like, "Hey, if you guys just give me $3, that's how much it costs for me to print the nice printing on top of this DVD. You can have it, make as many copies as you want, so you can encourage your people that God still heals." I was like 3 months into the faith. And I snapped my Achilles tendon at the same time. So it was just amazing to me that, you know, nobody received me. I was like the big fish. I believed God, you know, but I was extremely zealous. And my first ministry was taking this healing miracle that I had experienced church to church and only being received by one church. And I mean, there are more churches on the street that I lived on in Columbia. I mean, there are more churches on that street than there are anything else. Like, you know, like there's no fast food restaurants on that street, but there are like 20 churches. It's crazy. And but anyway, yeah, that was my introduction.
That's kind of amazing. I mean, I was talking to a good friend, Lord, yesterday, and we was talking about healing and about, you know, in the New Testament that a lot of times you only saw the disciples pray when they was wanting the Lord to bring something to them. It never was healing. Now, healing, they would do hands-on. It was more of a hands-on thing. They never did set their bed, "Please, Lord, take this stuff away from us. We're sick." It never did happen like that. They went to the person, laid hands, and expected the Lord to heal them, and it was done. It wasn't the whole congregation coming together and praying for one person. No, it was one Christian came and laid hands, and they was instantly healed. It wasn't nobody at the bedside. The only time they was at the bedside is when they was asking the Lord to do something in their lives or to escape, you know, Peter out of jail, and the angels came and opened the jail and let him out.
Yeah.
And then when the angel did that, he's out here knocking on the door. He's like, is that him or is that his ghost? What's going on here? You know? So, you know, that was the only time. And that's, you know, in these churches, they don't understand that. They don't grasp on that. But I do feel that they're slowly grasping that now. Their eyes are slowly being opened. And I'm sure we're going to start seeing these people that's running all these churches, their eyes are going to start opening. You're going to start seeing more of a power of God in the church and start seeing the church finally be activated the way it was back 2,000 years ago. And that's what we're all wanting and trying to help with, I'll say. But Zoe, so you started with your first healing miracle with the leg being healed and the tissues growing back. Now, you said you was in TV studio work and all that too?
Yeah, I started out, you know, I went to film school and I learned how to do basically light and all that good stuff, but I never run cameras. And so when I got saved, I was like, you know, why am I working support services and not running a camera? And so I figured that I would go and work for a news station. And it was a miracle for me to get that job. I don't want to go into it. It was incredible. But I ended up working at ABC Columbia, downtown Columbia, and worked there for a couple of years. And I've done some documentaries and stuff too. So, yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, how has that helped you in ministry?
Well, it's helped me greatly because, you know, it helps put food on the table. Praise God. And I've been able to serve other people that have had some video needs, you know. At the same time, most ministries get to get a really high-quality video production for pennies, you know, comparatively. Because, television is expensive, you know. And so it's been great to be able to, like, to serve the body of Christ, too, and give them, you know, a good archive, because a lot of people can't make it to the events for whatever reason. And it's good that people can, you know, go back and see it. It's also really nice to be able to, you know, to assemble something for ourselves really quickly. You know, we don't have to wait and go to a studio and all that stuff. When we were over in Pakistan recently, we would do video updates. It was really easy just to record something real quick, you know, throw a title on it, put some lower thirds on it, keep going, you know.
That's awesome. Zoe, what we're going to do, we're going to take a break with a song, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to go ahead and let Chuck start asking you some questions about Pakistan, because it was a very amazing event, what everybody's been saying, and we definitely want to hear that, and I'm sure it's going to be a mind-blowing story, so we'll be right back.
We have raised 1,000 voices just to lift your holy name, and we will raise thousands more to of your beauty in this place. Where none can even fathom, no, not one define your worth. As we marvel in your presence to the ends of the earth. Yeah.
Welcome back to the Healing Light Show. This is Reverend Stan, Chuck, and Chris Crutchfield. We're interviewing Zoe Warren today, and he's been talking about his testimony and his first healing that he saw manifest, and it's been a very amazing morning, and I'm going to hand the rest of the interview over to Chuck McDonald. Here you go, Chuck.
All right, thanks, man. Well, I've loved the testimony so far. I've been friends with you on Facebook, I don't know how long, and you live like an hour from me. It's crazy that we finally got together after a few years. Now, I had watched a lot of some of your posts and videos you were doing from Pakistan, and I really got interested in that. So just take the listeners down that trail, maybe how you got connected with these people, and all that went on over there, because I know you had a lot of stuff going on over there. Just tell miracles. Just feel free to go ahead and talk however long you need to. But I'm really interested in how you got connected, because from watching everything, this was really a step of faith for you, if I'm not mistaken. It wasn't. I think some people were actually counseling you not to do it because maybe it was so dangerous. So just take the listener down that road a little bit.
Man, what you've said is well stated. It was a crazy, crazy walk of faith, man. And it's not because we have such great faith, you know. It's just that the Lord kept witnessing to us, you know. He kept witnessing in His Word. I don't like listening to just voices in my head. I love the Word of God testifying to me of the truth, you know, whether He repeats it over and over again in the Bible or the Scriptures come up in my heart and then people are saying the same Scriptures, you know, to encourage me and confirm that the Lord is actually leading me to do something. But it was incredible. I met my Pakistani friends with Jesus Victory Pentecostal. I met them through Facebook. And you know what? Honestly, I get all kinds of requests and you know, from people all over the world, you know, to support their ministries and to send them some money. Everybody's got the same issue we have right here in Colombia. I mean, we minister weekly, daily to the homeless and the working poor. I mean, we feed about 100 to 240 people downtown. And on Thursday, we minister to their needs. And so, but everybody's sending me messages on Facebook from all over the world with the exact same story. You know, they're doing the exact same thing we're doing, but they expect us to be able to give them something, you know, and I understand. But whenever I met Evangelist Daud Ayub, I had seriously said in my heart, I'm not going to help any other person. I already have enough people. We have enough connections all over the country, all over the world. We only have so much money. I don't want to make myself completely ineffective. But he didn't ask me for anything. And he just, you know, said, blessings, brother, you know. And I was like, hey, you know. And then, like, about a week later, he was like, hey, we want to do a Bible distribution here in our country. And we're wondering if you would please speak and do a Skype meeting. Because he had been listening to some of the messages I put on Facebook. And he said, you have a lot of fire, and I really want you to help us, you know, to get the Bibles, but to also to release the fire congregation. And so I did. And so we had a first Skype meeting, and the message for the Skype meeting was on, you know, basically being on fire for God, you know. And mm-hmm. It was so amazing. They were so moved by the message in the meeting that people were still talking about it, you know, in Pakistan days later and stuff. And I was totally terrified when I got on the Skype meeting with them because I had nothing to offer. The Lord only gave me two scriptures. And I felt like a complete fraud, you know. Like, what am I going to say to these people, Lord? And I've been praying in tongues for hours, and I still have nothing, Lord. You won't tell me anything. I wept at the beginning, and I was like, guys, could you just pray in the Spirit with me? Because I had them pray in the Spirit with me for like 5 minutes. And the most incredible thing happened while we were praying in the Spirit. The sound of their tongues turned into the sound of a wind tunnel. It was so loud. It was so loud that I had to look at their mouths to see if they were still praying in tongues because I couldn't hear voices anymore. And that's when I really got terrified. I said, oh, my God, what have I done? Lord, that's the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Oh, my gosh. And I was terrified, even more so. But then when I guess because I was completely humbled and humiliated, the Lord spoke powerfully, and everybody who came for healing at that meeting got healed. So it was 100% healing meeting. People were touched by the message. And so we did a couple of more meetings. We had a women's conference. Over 600 women came, and it was 2 days. We did a couple of other Bible distributions. But from the very beginning, the Lord was talking to me and Dowd about having a crusade in Pakistan in October of this year. And while we were talking about it, his dad said, "Why don't you just come in April?" And I was like, "Well, if the Lord wants me to come, I'm down. That's fine. But I am not going to strive for God. I can forget it. I've done that. I did that when I first got saved. I was striving to do everything. I'd find myself in a box that I didn't really want to be in. Like, Lord, how did I get stuck in here? Help me out. I'm not striving for you, Lord. It just wears me out and nothing gets accomplished. It bears no fruit. So if you want me to go, you have to make the way." Well, my wife, the whole time, she didn't even want to go. She was like, "Nope. Well, you ain't going. I ain't going. The kids ain't going. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, no." She would really, literally, it sounds like a joke, but she was praying against us going. And, one day, she finally decided, it was like in February, early February, she decided to soften her heart and ask the Lord if he wants us to go, and what he has to say about Pakistan. Well, that morning, after she asked the Lord, I didn't know she was talking to the Lord about that, but I called a friend of mine who had been to Pakistan, and he took his kids, too. He took his 10-year-old and his 6-year-old, the exact ages of my children, okay? And he went a year ago, the same time. And I was like, "See, yeah, give me some details about Pakistan." And he's talking to me about, what we should expect and what we should not expect based on what you see in the media. And I was like, "Well, how does your wife feel about it?" I was like, she's not really interested. She's kind of on the fence. She's like, "Well, let me talk to her." So he gets on the phone and he encourages her on the very same morning that she asked the Lord to speak to her about Pakistan if he really wants her to go. Now, not only is that happening, I go out to the mailbox while they're on the phone. And in the mailbox, I don't even know why I went out to go get the mail. I'm on the phone with somebody. But I felt like I should go get the mail when the mailman came. I went out there and there was a check in our mailbox. Somebody had sent us $1,000 for our trip to Pakistan. And so I came inside and showed it to my wife. So on the very morning my wife softened her heart, not only did God speak to her through my friend Garth, he had already arranged it so there would be a $1,000 check for our trip to Pakistan in the mailbox. So he could encourage her. He wants us to go. Okay. The next day, we send the money off to get my wife and my kids' visas because they didn't have them. We went to our congressman's office, and he expedited them for us. He sent them down to the passport place. And we got our passports. He sent them on Friday. Or no, he sent them on Thursday, but on Friday we got the receipt saying they've been shipped and they're on their way. We got our passports the following Monday. In 3 days, we got our passports. That's a miracle in itself. I mean, that's the federal government. You don't get anything back in 3 days. You don't even get a phone call. But we got our passports printed and mailed back to us and had them in our hands on Monday by noon. It's incredible. So, another miracle. We finally got our visas, and we still don't have money to go to Pakistan. Yeah. The money that we were given, we've been given, a couple thousand dollars so far. We spent on visas, preparing, expediting services, all that stuff, that you need to do. And so we finally got our visas, and we're like, "Well, Lord, if you gave us our visas, I guess it means you really do want us to go." Because there had been a suicide bombing just about a week before we got our visas in the mail. Two guys had blown themselves up outside of some churches, and they still approved us. They said, "Yeah, you can go." I guess they thought we were crazy enough. You can go. The whole time we got, I got people that I'm talking to that I'm asking, to help us maybe with Bibles, because we wanted to give away 1,000 Bibles over there, and they're like, I'm hearing from the Lord. You shouldn't go. People had all kinds of things they were hearing from God. If somebody tells you they're hearing from God, they need to come with some scriptures. And and I'm not saying you reject them, but you definitely need to take it to the Word of God and ask God Himself, to confirm his word. Because if he's telling you to go, it's safer for you to go than it would be for you to stay, no matter where he's telling you to go. And so he confirmed that, the Lord confirmed that it was that he wanted us to go over and over again in every way possible. Even my wife, she's still balking. She's on the fence. She just still doesn't want to go. All the way to the very last day. On the very last day, we still didn't have any money to go. By 5 o'clock that night, before the bank closed, we had gotten a check for $37.50. Somebody, and I didn't, we weren't asking people for money. I didn't ask people for money. You know, I wasn't, because I didn't want to strive for Godwin. Then if you want to school, you got to provide. And so I told people that we got our visas, and I called a friend and said, hey, man, you know what? We got our visas. And if you know some philanthropists, we're trying to give out 1,000 Bibles while we're there, you know, if they want to give some money for that, that'd be cool. And he was like, and I said, also, too, you know, we only got about X amount of money, and we have to get to Pakistan. It's like, you know, if you know anybody, just let them know. And he's like, hold on one second, let me call you back. And he calls us back, and he says, hey, man, we're going to give you this amount of money. And so, I mean, we were able to go get our rental car. We still didn't have the rest of the money to go to Pakistan. But I was like, hey, you know what, Lord, if you want us to go, and you still haven't given us the money yet, we're going to drive to Washington, D.C., and wait in the airport until you give it to us. Because we had read books about John G. Lake and all these people of God that had walked in faith, and the Lord told them to do something, and they ended up, you know, going to the train station with no money, and then people giving the money while they're there. So we're like, we're just going to walk in faith. You know, we've seen people in faith, and we believe you're telling us to do it, and you've been confirming it, so we're going to do it. My wife's still like, no way, I ain't going. And matter of fact, it was like 10 o'clock at night. We still haven't received all the rest of the money yet. And my wife was like, so I'm sorry that it's last minute. I wish you could get somebody to go with you, but we can't go. I'm not going. The kids aren't going. I feel fairly confident about this. Now, several weeks before that moment, she had a conversation with a woman about Pakistan. And the woman kept saying, the woman said to her, I kept thinking about Jonah while you were talking. I just keep thinking about Jonah, you know, because Jonah was sent to a very violent place with a message for the people. But God protected him the whole time.
Amen.
So my wife's like, okay, well, you know, whatever. We're still not going to Pakistan. Well, that night, 10 o'clock at night, she's like, Zoe, I'm convinced the Lord's saying we don't go. I believe the Lord's with me on this, and we're not going. And my daughter is sitting next to her with a children's KJV Bible with, like, you know, paintings in it. You know, the old Bible, it's got beautiful paintings. And she doesn't know necessarily how to read, but she knows the pictures. And she opens it up. Right as my wife says it, right on the end, the tail of her words, she says, oh, look, Jonah runs from God. And my wife was like, okay, Lord, I'll go. And then I got a phone call, a Facebook message from a woman who gave us the rest of the money for our tickets to go to Pakistan. And so we pack up a bag with one pair of clothes in it, and we put on one pair of clothes because we wanted to try to do what the Bible said. Jesus said, when I sent you, I didn't send you with a bunch of stuff, right? Did you want for anything? And I said, no. And so we just went with the pair of clothes we had on and one pair of clothes to change in. You know, because our society is a little different. We don't wear that little over, you know, cloth, whatever. They could bathe and not have to stand there naked, you know. They could wash their clothes and not have to stand around naked. So we took an extra pair of clothes so we wouldn't have to stand there naked. And but we went there and we had $70 and one change of clothes. And the whole time we were there was miracle after freaking miracle after miracle. It was insane. I mean, truly. It was the miracle started way before we went. Like I just shared with you some of them. But when we got there, we went to a meeting pretty much every day. And, I mean, we went to the brick kilns. The brick kilns are a place where slaves, people who have been made slaves by the government, the judges will send you to be a slave in the brick kilns if you have a debt, you know, $500 to $5,000 or more, whatever. If you can't pay it, then they sentence you to work the brick kilns and to make bricks in the brick kilns until you pay off your debt. Yeah, and so most of them in there are Christians. Is an Islamic republic, and there's not it's not illegal to be a Christian there, but there's an economic oppression. So if you know, for instance, you got a good job, you're doing a good job, they'll come to you like, hey, you're doing a great job. I'm like, thanks. So what do you think about Islam? Well, I'm a Christian. Oh, a Christian. Okay, well, you're fired. You know? And so Christians have hardship. They don't know anything about healing, and their family gets sick, and they create a debt, and then their family member dies with a debt, and then you inherit that debt. And if you can't pay off that debt, then you end up in a really bad place. And so anyway, we went to the brick kilns, man. They're surrounded. I mean, they're pretty much, they believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but they don't necessarily know the Bible, you know, because a lot of them can't even read. A lot of them got saved because they believed on our Lord, but they don't know how to read. And so their children also, because they can't pay for their school, their children also are illiterate. know, and so it's this really, really terrible kind of downward spiral. But in any case, the church that we are attached to has been ministering to them and helping them and giving gifts to them and as often as they can. Obviously, they don't get a lot of offerings and tithes from the church, but anytime they get money, they try to help as best they can. So it was an incredible experience there, the brick kilns. People that are elderly there, they die on the streets. There's no, like, you know, elderly care facilities at all in Pakistan, and there's no Office of the Aging or any of that stuff like we have here. There's no adult protective services. Old people die on the streets, you know, and they think they're cursed. We met an old guy there, you know, that had lost his son and his daughter-in-law and their children in the suicide blast a couple weeks prior before we got there. And it was just insane, man. It was just so sad. But God's power was moving in such power there. Almost every single meeting we went to, everybody that needed healing got healed.
Amen.
Okay? Not only did everybody get healed, but there was at least, you know, between 5 and 25 people at the smaller meetings that gave their life to the Lord Jesus at every meeting and took off in tongues. Incredible. My son, 10 years old, he laid hands on a little girl that was around his age. And he was just blessing her, just praying for her, you know, because she gave her life to Jesus. And they put hands on her and he said, "Fire in the name of Jesus." And she fell on the floor like a bag of bricks. Whap! And he looked at her and he jumped back and he was like, "Oh, my God, did I do that? I didn't do that. I didn't push her. Is she okay?" And he didn't want to lay hands on anybody for the rest of the night. Praise God. Mm. Absolutely incredible. We had a crusade, a two-day crusade, that we're still paying for, actually. We did it by faith, you know, because they had been so encouraged by our faith to get there. I was like, "Well, we don't have the money to do the crusade yet. I believe God will give us the money." And they're like, "Okay, we'll just go ahead and do it. We'll believe God for the money." And so they got everybody to do it, and we still haven't paid everybody off yet. But still, I know for a fact that the Lord was moving in power there, because we only had about 3,000 people come, about 3,000 people come to the two-day crusade, but over 400 people gave their lives to Jesus. Muslims and Hindus and unbelievers, unbelieving Christians, whatever, they all gave their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were children, a lot of children in that too, and they all took off in tongues. I had people, ministers, going around and listening in their ear to their mouths to hear if they were really praying in tongues, if they were really, you know, operating in the gift, or if they were just making noise, you know. And most of them were already baptized in the Spirit. We got a bunch of them baptized in water. While I was preaching, a Muslim politician came to the very first day crusade, and he said he was so moved by what he saw and what he heard that he invited us to his house for tea and to eat and to meet his family. The Lord, I have a friend named Andy Hainer. He's part of JGLM. Dave and Patty brought him when they came here. Dave and Patty Loggy from Holy Spirit Land Ministries. They brought him with them when they came to Charleston and got us activated. And he helped me with some ways to preach, you know, to people who are Muslim without having to talk about Muhammad or Islam or any of that. And so the message that I preached, I didn't have to talk about that. It was awesome, man. And I was able to hit their hearts because, you know, God's going to judge us according to our hearts. You know, not just our actions, but our hearts, too. We need a new heart. Our heart's wicked. I know what your thoughts are like inside. Your thoughts inside are like mine. And we need an advocate, and we need power to change, you know, because if we don't, we're going to be judged because of a wicked heart. I said back in the days of Noah, the Bible says God looked down from heaven and he said every inclination of men's hearts were evil, and so he destroyed the earth. And so if you have an evil, wicked heart, you're screwed, no matter what you're thinking. You know, your good works ain't going to help you if your heart's still wicked. And so people just rushed to the platform. They said they hadn't seen people run to the platform like that. It had nothing to do with me, because truly, I can tell you, when I went on the platform, I only had a couple things to say that you know, premeditated. The Lord gave me everything on the platform, and it was just him and what Andy shared with me. And, man, it was incredible. People that couldn't see came to the platform and said, "I could not see." By their own mouth, they were with their grandkids. "I could not see. Now I can see. I can see." And we're like, okay, well, we hold our fingers up, and they're able to tell us how many fingers we're holding up. People that had pain in their whole body's gone. All kinds of amazing things. A guy with Down syndrome, a young guy, you could tell he had, you know, some kind of DNA genetic issue. He came to the platform. He said, "I could not speak. I couldn't speak. Hallelujah." He could talk. You know, whatever was causing him not to be able to speak was gone. So many testimonies, I couldn't tell them all, but it was just incredible for me, too, because I was really stretched by this trip. Because I always believed I needed to lay hands on people, you know. But they're like, no, this is a crusade. You're not going to have time to do that. We need to get you in and out of here. And it's not safe for you to go out there in the congregation laying hands on folks. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to be obedient. I trust the Lord. I'm going to trust you. So I prayed a global prayer, and people came streaming to the front to tell us what happened to them. It was absolutely insane, absolutely amazing. I mean, yeah, some of the meetings we prayed, I got women that had never laid hands on the sick before to come and to help us learn to minister so they could learn to minister. And one woman came, and she laid hands on a guy, and she didn't know what I was saying, so I told my interpreter, tell her this. Whatever you say, tell her to say it. Whatever you do, tell her to do it. And so he did. And she put her hands on this really, really old guy. And she said, fire, in the Urdu language. And this old man fell out on the concrete, you know, like somebody knocked him out. That was amazing, okay? We laid hands on two young girls. They got healed. And we said, okay, now turn around and lay your hands on the people behind you and pray for them. The Bible says believers lay hands, and they'll be healed. And they were like kind of weirded out. The people that they were going to pray for also was like, you know, no way. We want the man of God to pray for us. You know, they objected. I said, no, they have to get the practice. They need to get activated while we're here. They said, okay, sure. So they laid hands on them, and the people got healed. And so we went inside to share the testimonies, and the pastor of the church is, like, calling people to receive Jesus. You know, he's doing the invitation. Wouldn't you know those two girls that we prayed for that turned around and healed everybody, raised their hands, and went and gave their lives to the Lord? They weren't even saved yet. They didn't have a special gift. They didn't have a calling. They didn't hear anything from, you know, God didn't tell them to go lay hands on nobody. They just believed what we were saying. They obeyed it, and God did what he said, just like the disciples before they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen? They were operating under the authority of Jesus because they believed his word, and it was absolutely astounding to me. A lot of my theology was, you know how they say that term, in a nutshell, in a nutshell? I think it's because if you took everything and you wrote it on a sheet of paper, balled up, and put it inside of a nutshell, it fit in there. The Lord took all of my theology that was wrong and balled it up, put it inside of a nutshell, and kicked it to the curb. Praise God. It was such an amazing time. I mean, I saw things that I always wanted to see when I was there, and I got to live in a way that I always wanted to live. We lived by faith the whole time we were there. People bought us clothes. They bought me traditional Pakistani dress. They took care of our every need. They fed us every meal. They took us everywhere. They hired, we didn't ask them to do this. They hired the local Lahore Police Department to escort us everywhere. So we had five police officers. When we just go to the bank, we're going to the wherever, the grocery store. There's police officers with us. I'm like, you know, I was just going to be here. I'm just here by faith, whatever. I mean, if you want to do that, that's great. That's fantastic. I don't know. I'm not gonna reject it. But I was still amazed that the Lord, he had sent angels ahead of us to prepare the way so we can go do what he desired. And if if we will heed his call, even when it seems dangerous, he will send angels. He will give them charge over us to guard us in all our ways. Yeah. Praise God. It was amazing.
Amen. Though I'm going to stop you right there. There's a friend of mine, Heath Adams, that he went on a event not too long ago, and he was there praying in this little city, and all of a sudden the cops came around his area and said people was getting healed. He said, we're going to protect your event. And where they was, all the cops and the law enforcement in that little city started helping protect what was going on, and they was protecting the service. So the Lord is protecting these services. It's not just yours; it's everybody's. So
amen.
He knows what's going on, and he is protecting. He is our everything, man.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're about to have church. We got some church on the phone. Hallelujah.
Go.
Praise
amen.
God. Yeah, man. Bless the Lord. He is. And I'm so thankful that it's not just written there so we can have a pep rally and make ourselves feel better so we can go be Employee of the Month. He's actually a supernatural God that's doing supernatural things in our midst, and it's just amazing. I'm so thankful he allowed us to enter into that. Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Bless the Lord. Yeah, so, I mean, I could keep on going on the things that happened in Pakistan. I mean, there are so many. so many. If I don't know if you guys, if that's okay, is it okay if I share a couple more things?
Go ahead.
Whatever Chris wants, man. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really incredible just hearing some of your testimony. Like, the whole issue about faith is just very moving to me, you know, because I think when you trust the Lord, man, that really he moves, you know. I remember Smith Wigglesworth saying he would pass over 1,000 just to touch that one that was in faith. Yeah. And, you know, I'm just amazed by it, by him constantly moving and everything. But I was going to ask you about, like, how did you get involved into the YouTube ministry and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I've been feeling for quite some time that I was supposed to do something radio, television-wise. You know, back in 96 or something, I went to a broadcasting school, and then I went to film school, and I felt like the Lord was telling me to go ahead and do that, and I just kept resisting it, you know, because I was like, I don't even know what to say, Lord. What am I talking about, you know? I don't want to do it. But then I finally yielded, and we have a program. Dave Lundy from Holy Spirit Led Ministries co-hosts it with me, and sometimes I'll have a different co-host that comes on and shares. But primarily me and Dave, because what we would do is we would be on the phone, kind of like me and you guys are right now, but we would talk on the phone, and we would just be talking about what the Lord's talking to us about. And sometimes we would have static. Me and Dave would have a little dissonance, you know, because we're thinking one thing and the Lord's word is saying another. Or we're just growing, you know what I'm saying? We're brothers, you know what I'm saying? And so we're getting stretched. And so at the end of those conversations, though, we were always like, man, I wish we would have recorded that, you know, so the body could hear it. I mean, of course we're going to go preach it somewhere. But the way that it was just released was unique, and it was right off the, you know, fresh off. Fresh off the revelation, you know? And so we decided we'd do it publicly, and we'd do it on the internet. So it's called God's Plain Truth TV. God's Plain Truth TV. We got God's Plain Truth TV has got about 1,100 or so subscribers. That doesn't mean that many people watch the program, but we had a video go viral one time. And so it wasn't one of our teaching videos, but it went viral, and so we got a bunch of attention kind of quickly. And so, if you go there, we have an archive of the meetings. I mean, really what we do is we just want to talk about whatever God's talking to us about from Genesis to Revelation and help people, you know, to rightly divide the word, because there's a lot of nonsense out there that actually just keeps us ineffective. You know, the Bible only gives a couple of reasons for failure, you know. One of them is unbelief. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not an unbeliever. Obviously, you believe. So that's probably not your problem. The other one is traditions, because the Bible says, you know, traditions of men make the word of God of no effect, make it not work. And so our desire is to help people to stay in faith, you know, to stay able to be able to walk in confidence. And the other one is to cut through all the nonsense, the things that people have put in place that they basically either to excuse themselves from their responsibility or because unbelief is just easy, you know. Obviously, Moses did a whole bunch of miracles for the Israelites before they came out of Egypt, you know, and they went across the Red Sea, and then they were right back into following unbelief, you know. So it doesn't matter how many miracles you see. It's really easy to listen to somebody with a tradition that is based on not really believing God's power, you know. And so we want to just cut through that every week and help people get rid of that and encourage people to walk in what God's got for us, you know, and don't stop. So God's Plain Truth TV, we do it every week on Tuesdays at 4 p.m., and it's about an hour long. Sometimes we go long, but, you know, it's a good time. Praise God.
That's awesome.
Bless the Lord. Glory to God. Thanks for having me on today, too. It's really, really cool to be able to share what we're doing, what the Lord's doing. I don't really get, you know, I don't get to communicate a lot of this often, so it's really fun to share with people what all we're doing. You know, of course, I have a program where we talk about things, but it's really, really neat to be invited on your program and share with you, you know. God is moving, guys. He's moving. Praise God. Everybody needs to get on board. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can do this.
That's it, man. That's it.
Amazing. Sometimes it's just making yourself available, you know, and that's the thing that I try to stay focused on is, God, how can you use me in this situation, you know, and just to smile and to be a light, you know, and that, a lot of times that can go so far. And I was just thinking about, like, when you were talking about, you know, getting out of the traditions of men and stuff like that, about how important it is. I thought about that verse that says, speaking about the gifts of the Spirit, but it talks about, like, prophecy and hearing God's voice and how important it is to get to that point. Like you were talking about, like, your wife with Noah. I'm sorry about that whistle behind me. I'm on a soccer field. It's kind of weird to be doing a show. But anyway, like, the whole thing with Jonah, that was – to me, I was seeing, like, the language of the Spirit so clearly in that, you know, and that's amazing because he moves in that kind of way where you know that it's him talking to you and you're having that urging on your heart. It's just incredible. But, man, it is awesome. I pray that the Lord just keeps opening the doors for you and just keeps getting more and more effective and getting wider and broader in your life, you know. And, man, we all just want more of him, you know, bringing him to earth.
Amen. You know, I live by a philosophy, man, and I don't know if it'll help anybody. I talked to my brother yesterday, Brother Stan. I talked to him about it. Like, my philosophy is this, and I heard it, I think Curry said it, Curry Blake from John Gillette Ministries, is, you know, I think it was him, maybe, but he said, do unto others what you want done to you. And the Lord said that to me one time. He said, you know, if you were hurting and you saw a person in front of you and you knew that they believed that if they laid hands on you, you would get healed, what would you want them to do? I said, I want them to pray for me. He said, go and do likewise. And so my heart is now every time I see an opportunity because I would want somebody to pray for me, I just take it, you know. And so and the same thing with doors being open. Like, if the Lord opens a door for you to go preach the gospel, he said, go in all the world. You don't even have to pray about it. You know, you can just purpose yourself to go. And if God doesn't want you to go, he'll do like he did Paul. He'll kick you in the belly, you know, and stop you.
Yeah.
But he said, go, you know. So if he says go, he'll never make you pay for something that he has told you to do. And so that means you don't even have to strive to go get the money together. Hey, you know, God does it, he does it. He doesn't, whatever. Then I know I wasn't supposed to go. But he will always take care of us. He will always, if the door is open, just purpose yourself to go. If you see an opportunity to pray for somebody, if there's a limping, an arm, whatever, man, the results in the Lord have increased dramatically. And I think it's because that is a command from God, to do to others what you want done to you. And if we live by that principle, I mean, and it's not just, you know, don't smack people in the face because you don't want to be smacked. You know what I'm saying? It's like, help people because, you know, you'd want somebody to help you. If we live by that principle, that compassion door opens.
And, that's awesome.
I mean, it says Jesus was moved by compassion and he healed them all. So we want Jesus in us moved by compassion and healing everyone, you know? Amen. We don't want to lay hands on anybody and they not get healed. All right? Praise God. We want that compassion of Jesus to flow and heal everyone. Praise God. Amen. All right. Bless the Lord.
Amen. That's awesome. It's been an awesome interview. And you got us all sitting here just listening to see what he's going to say next. It's kind of like a storyline there. And it was kind of like a action film or action movie. So I don't know what's coming next, man. That's the way it is. But it's kind of like a Die Hard movie. What's he going to say next? But anyway, it's a... Kind of exciting there, but you know, it's great how the Lord is really moving people. And one thing that I really started understanding myself is how the Lord, he's already put things in the Word of God, and he already commands to do things. But a lot of times, we can't comprehend that in our mind, and a lot of times when the Lord comes and tells us things, we think that he's saying this to us because we've not had that yet. And I had an incident where I had somebody I know, they've already been baptized, all this stuff, but the Lord came to them and said, you need to get rebaptized. And during church service, the Lord came and told me, he said, this person is already my son and daughter. It's just they don't see themselves as that. And I feel that if they get rebaptized, they will feel that again. So it's really you. It's, you know, you've already been through all this before, but you fell in short a little bit, and you don't think that you deserve it, but you do. You're already all that. You're already all that. You just can't accept that. It's just like walking in the shoes of Christ, being a son and daughter of God. If you accepted Christ, been baptized in the Spirit and in the Word, you're already that. You just forgot about it. You just don't know who you are yet. But once you understand who you are, you start walking in the big boy pants is what they say. You start walking as a child of God, and you start doing the thing as a child of God. And Jesus Christ himself was an example of what it was to be walking as a child of God. He showed us what we're supposed to be doing. He talked to us what we're supposed to be doing. He was saying things that we're supposed to be saying. And that's all it is just walking in what we're supposed to be doing. And then when you do that, God and crazy miracles show up, and then our lives change. The biggest thing is our lives to change. If you're walking in crazy things and your life ain't changing, what's the point? You know?
Yep.
Your life needs to be changing. You know? Your life needs to be changing. You need to be changing and looking like Christ, not looking like Christ in miracles and walking like hell. You're supposed to be walking like Christ. You're supposed to be walking like Christ and looking like a son and daughter of God and reflecting that. And then that's the biggest thing. But
it's so interesting. It's so interesting you say that, bro. Because the Lord talked this morning, I was walking, and I think it's because people don't know sonship. Like you were just saying, they don't know who they are. Servant, okay, you go to any household that has a servant. Oftentimes, a servant wants to sit down and relax, don't want to really do anything. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that they are lazy, but they're always looking for opportunities to not work, you know? Whereas a son, like Jesus, he said, why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I should be about my father's business? A son is always looking for ways to work, you know? Because everything is around him belongs to him. And so if it starts to go into disrepair and fall apart, that's not a good thing. So sitting around and watching it fall apart is not a good thing. A son is always about the father's business, and he knows the master's business, you know. And so you have to know what the Lord is telling you. I mean, I compare it to, you know, understanding who you are in Christ is to know God, you know, and if you know God, then you know how God sees you, and then you can live it. If you don't know how God sees you, you really can't live it anyway, you know. You have to have a right revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus, and then get about doing the Father's business.
That's awesome, man. You know, you'll automatically fall into it. I mean, you don't have to make a plan. Well, I have to do this. You'll automatically do it. You won't have to say, well, today I'm going to pray for 20 people and maybe at Food Line I'll do this. You automatically fall in it because that's who you are. You know? Christ didn't have a market plan. He got all the disciples together and had like a chalkboard. Well, today we're going to this city and we're praying for 20 people here. And then tomorrow we're going down here to the market center and that good little place where we always buy our food, we're going to go and pray for 3 people there. It wasn't like that. It was more like when they walked, the people came to him. When the Father guided him, he did it because he says, I do what my Father shows me. So he didn't really have a plan. He just walked with whatever the Father showed him, and that's how we're supposed to be doing it.
Everywhere you go. You know, the Lord says, if you didn't take care of one of these, and he named a bunch of people that had issues, they were sick, they were in prison, that if he didn't do it to them, he didn't do it to me. So that means the Lord is with all of the people that have need. So if we have if somebody in front of us has need, he's there. And that's where we need to be.
Amen.
It's kind of like your name, Zoe. That's the Greek word for eternal life.
Of course, so God. You know,
it's all about the eternal life and being live in him, you know, and responding to him and him responding back to you and you walking it out. That's incredible stuff, man.
Bless the Lord. When I first got saved, I read a C.S. Lewis book, right? Now, I already had problems because I was an only child, so, you know, I read the C.S. Lewis book, and it was on the Zoe life of God versus the bio life of God. And so I thought I was the center of the universe for a while. I was like, oh, God. Oh, God. I was having, like, this crazy, you know, psychosomatic episode. Like, oh, my God. So, anyway. Good.
I think you are an expression of his life, you know? And I think your name carries a lot of weight. That's really cool.
Glory to God Almighty. He made it this way. Praise God. His doing.
Amen.
And you know what's interesting? My middle name is actually O'Neill. Zo-Neill. And so, really, the eternal life is a life on your knees. Praise God. To live that life, you got to be humble. You got to be head and shoulders below everyone else. You know?
Amen. That's awesome.
Amen.
Amen. This has been a great show today, and I really encourage everybody to listen to our shows on Wednesday night. It's always at 8 p.m. And Robert Hager and yours truly, Chris Crutchfield, and myself is teaching the Word of God. We come up with different topics every Wednesday night, and just things to help you in your life and help you on your walk with the Lord. And I would like to plug our event in July the 11th. Right beside a Marketplace Church. It's going to be the Healing Light Conference. We're going to have Heath Adams, Chuck McDonald. We're going to have Robert Hager and Jacob Phillips, all the way from Louisiana. And myself, we're all going to be there teaching the Word of God. We're expecting mighty miracles to happen. We're expecting God to deliver and transform people at the event. So come and experience the power of God. And like I said, it's going to be July the 11th. At 5 p.m. And it's been a great show. And Zoe, do you have any events or anything? I know you plugged your show. Is there anything else you want to plug?
Well, you know, we are, if you go to God's Plain Truth TV and you see any of the programs, you don't have to go there, but our email is godsplaintruthtv@gmail.com. godsplaintruthtv@gmail.com. And I just want to make a request on behalf of the Christians that are in the brick kilns and also the elderly, because we have two projects that we're planning and we're producing. Right now we already feed the elderly, 25 of them, and it takes about $500 a month to feed them. And, you know, we don't really make a lot of money. And, of course, they're in Pakistan. They don't make very much money at all. But we're still feeding them and taking care of them. But we want to build a facility that can, for the children, right next to the brick kiln, so they can be educated, because they can't go to school. So we want to teach them to read, write, do math, and also train them, equip them to take the gospel to everyone they meet. And so, you know, those are the kind of things you can, if you wanted to sow your seed, you know, the Lord says it, you know, given it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, men will give into your bosom, you know. And so if there's a place that you want to sow your seed, we would really, really appreciate your help on behalf of the Christians there in Pakistan, because that's who we're doing it for. You know, it's not for us. And so, and you know, also, too, if you're sowing into the anointing in an Islamic nation, praise God. So you're able to make a difference in a very dark place. Amen. A very, very, very dark place. And so think about it. Pray about it. You know the Lord would have you give something, so just ask him how much. Amen. God bless you guys.
I know one time that the Bible was for Pakistan, and the Lord really put on my heart to give a little something, and the Lord is really helping that nation right now with Bibles. You know, they really need them, and like you said, there's some that can't read and some can read, and more Bibles they have, the more they can teach, and that's very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen.
So it's very, very awesome that they're doing that. But I'd like to thank you, Zoe, for coming on today. pleasure.
Praise God, man. I thank you for having me. It's an honor to share these things with you guys and to encourage the body that if you step out in faith, God will prepare. He's already prepared the way, but you can only walk the way by faith. So just do it. Amen? Just do it. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. We're going to go ahead and jump into a song, and we'll see you all Wednesday night. God bless every one of you.
We have raised a thousand voices just to lift your holy name. And we will raise thousands more to sing of your beauty in this place. When none can even fathom, no, not one define your
to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Thank you. was seen. Reveal this mystery, the crown that showed no dignity he wore. And the king was placed for all the world to show disgrace, but only beauty flowed from this place. Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hands? Would you take the place of this man? Would you take the nails from his hands? The weight of impurity, the Father would not see. Reason to finally come to be to show the depth of His grace. Flown with every sin erased, He knew that this was why He came. Would you take the blame?